Scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 19. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. And with the word head being capitalized in the NIV, that is a reference to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. This is God's holy word. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this time to gather together, to connect in, to hear your word and to think about and ponder of its truth. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being created in your image. And as we look at the account from Genesis and some of the words here from Colossians 2, we pray for the enlightenment of your spirit, that we would know your peace and know your fullness, that we would be your disciples. In Christ we pray. Amen. I kind of lost track of how long this sermon series is. I don't know if we're halfway through or not. We might be. But this is sermon 6 in a series. It's based on the statements of belief, and it's a time to remember. It's a time of teaching. And Christian disciples, who we are challenged to grow in their knowledge of God, to strengthen their relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In such growing and strengthening, it's a result of reading and studying, and most of all, knowing God's Word. We have to read the Bible, reading its passage repeatedly over and over and over for it all to sink in so that we can live life to glorify God. Well, in similar fashion, it's worthwhile for disciples of Christ to be reminded of the foundational elemental beliefs of the Christian faith, of the Christian church, as gleaned from Scripture, occasionally reviewing the building blocks of faith and the building blocks of the Christian church. So we've been embarking on this sermon series. We began with God in one being, being three persons, Jesus, the incarnation of God the Son, the Holy Spirit working actively in the world, the Bible, the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. Last Sunday, we looked at the church as being the body of Christ here on earth. And this morning, we look at humans were created in the image of God. Not just humans, but you, me. We are created in the image of God. As ministers of the gospel, pastors are called by God to speak the truth, and to speak that truth with wisdom and grace and compassion. So as the true and foundational teachings of the Bible are read and considered, we have to be mindful of the wisdom and the grace Jesus himself used when he was teaching these principles to his listeners, so that as Jesus interacted with sinners like ourselves, we have that truth and that wisdom and that grace and compassion. Week by week, we have been exploring belief statements that speak of the historic theology of the Protestant Christian Church, including the historical theology of St. John's Christian Church and the Evangelical Association of Congregational Christian Churches, which we are a part of. Theology, the study of God. Theology in the Christian church is to be based on the Word of God, the words of Scripture, the Bible. To know about how to build a house, I go to this book. I've had this book since 1986, I believe, and it's been my dream to build a house, and I have read this, and I have scribbled on a few of the pages, and I've never been able to fulfill my dream. So I settled in on renovating my house and adding on a family room, Lynn and I, and I continue to refer to this book in terms of construction. Someday, I'm going to be done with all that construction, and I'm going to make more use of my workshop and turn it from carpentry to woodworking. And I have been given this woodworking book, and I really haven't used it at all, but there's all kinds of projects and patterns in here that I hope to someday use what's in here for the fun of my workshop. So I use that book when I want to know how to woodwork. Any of you cooks? I can only cook when I use a recipe. And so I go to McCall's cookbook with the cover coming. I have cooked so much in my life, I've worn it out. Huh. On the inside, it says Babs Chrisman, which was my mother's nickname growing up. So we were blessed with one of my mother's cookbooks. She didn't really have to use it at the end, but she still referred to it, and so do I, whenever I cook like once a year for my wife's birthday. Well, to know about God, we obviously have to refer to this book, the Bible, again, the written word of God. The Bible. The Bible tells us how we can know God exists. Lots of passages to refer to, but I'm only going to share two with you. First, from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Creation speaks of the very existence of God as the creator of the world. And then from Romans chapter 1, verse 20, Paul writes, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." The invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen once again through creation and through how we interact with God. There is a purposeful intelligence that created this world. As the world has both purpose and intelligence, purpose and design. And we can only know about God by what God chooses to reveal to us, realizing that what God chooses to reveal is profitable, it is useful, and it is sufficient. The Bible reveals to us, teaches enough that we can know God exists. 19th century philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer, by habit, was usually dressed like a vagrant. And one day he sat on a park bench in the middle of Berlin, deep in thought. His appearance made a policeman very suspicious. So the policeman asked the philosopher, "Who are you?" And Schopenhauer answered, "I would to God I knew. I would to God I knew." The only real way for us to know who we are comes from God. And it begins at the very beginning, in the book of Genesis. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In Genesis 1, verse 2 through 23, come the first 5 days of creation. And then in Genesis 1, verses 24 through 30, it shares the work of creation God did on the sixth day. On the sixth day of creation, following the creation of living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creatures that move along the ground and wild animals, following that work of creation, God says in Genesis 1, 26, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Verse 26 shares how God planned to make us in his image. In translating from the original Hebrew language, the New International Version of the Bible uses the word man in this verse. Let us make man in our image. The Hebrew language word for man can be both masculine in speaking of man as male, and it can be general in speaking of man as a human being. Which we can understand the word man being used as a human being when we read the next verse, verse 27, in which God introduced his creation of man. He created them male and female. Let's first look at a little closer at verse 26, in which God introduced his creation of man. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Us, our, a repeated use of the plural. It speaks to the very real reality of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, all the way in the beginning of Genesis. Created in God's image, humankind is different from every other living creature God created. People are distinct. We are distinct as moral, an intellectual, and a spiritual being. Think about God the Son. In the incarnation of God the Son, being born on earth as a human, in the personhood of Jesus, the deity and the humanity are not the same, but they are compatible. And also, God shares the authority. Humans have the authority over fish of the sea and birds of the air, livestock over the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground. That is part of God's plan for man and for humankind. And then in Genesis 1, 27, God initiated his plan for mankind. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Again, repetition brings significance to the passage, that we can remember it and know it. Male and female, God created them in his image. Human life is made in the image of God. Humans are blessed with a personality. We each have a personality unique to us. We may have similarities with others, but in our personality, we have knowledge, and we have feelings, and we have a will. Sometimes that will can be a little stubborn for some of us, but that's what it means to be human. Humans are created with a sense of morality. We can make moral judgments. We have a conscience to know that what we are doing is either honoring God or it is sinful, which we need to confess and repent from. Humans are blessed with spirituality. We are made for communion. We are made to fellowship with God and with people. We have this sense of spirituality, of fellowshipping with God. And humans are blessed with creativity. Last night, I was blessed with creativity. I warned a table of people I played games with at game night last night with the fellowship committee. I was looking for sermon material, and here it is. Those games that people make up, their creative genius, and how they make so many silly games is beyond my comprehension. I don't know how many of you were looking for sermon material last night, but at one time, the three tables were all playing Uno. Now, the table I was at was playing historical Uno that I grew up with, but there was another table, and then we eventually played Uno Deluxe, and then the other game played Uno Attack. Who makes up these silly differences? That is creativity at the best. And then all those people playing those games last night, man, are they creative in their personalities and expressions, and it was fun. Hopefully there will be another game night and more of you can come and just enjoy the creativity of being created in God's image and fellowshipping together. See, that wasn't so bad for sermon material, right? Scott, they were worried. Not at all. We are created in the image of God, but God does not have a physical body. As written in John 4:24, God is spirit. God is spirit. God gave humankind a physical body with the abilities that God has to be able to see and to hear and to smell and to touch, to speak and to think and to plan. God's plan. You are a part of God's plan because you are created in the image of God. And again, in the repetition of verses 26 and 27 about God creating mankind, humankind in his image, the repetition emphasizes the truth of his creation. And we can know three specific truths from these verses. Number one, God created man in one day. Not gradually over years of progressive evolution. Number two, male and female, he created them. And Genesis 2 further explains how God created them male and female, and we'll talk about that next Sunday. And third, since God created them male and female, the differences between males and females, they are a part of God's plan. And it's important to note that those differences between male and female, they are good and they are meaningful in God's sight and purpose for creation. Additionally, being created in God's image, in God's likeness, people are created to represent God and to be like God. The original word, Hebrew word for image in this passage means to be a representative. So when we go forth bearing the name of Christian, bearing the name of Christ, we are representing God, we are representing Jesus to the people that watch us, that see, that hear us and speak to us. We are a representative created in God's image. And then we draw further insight about being created in the image of God through our reading from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Live in Him, rooted and built up. Be established and keep growing. In verse 8, Paul provides a word of caution, a word of warning, reminding his readers to live by the truth of Scripture and be very wary of depending upon human tradition. Now, I want you to know, in these books, as a male, I have learned how to read instructions. No longer stubborn about that. And we have to read and know to be rooted and built up, to grow in wisdom. We are to see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. Words of warning, hollow and deceptive philosophy, human tradition. It had the stamp of human tradition, not the stamp of the approval of God. And don't let it take you captive. Because if you are captive by a false philosophy, you are being led astray from God. Human tradition has no equal authority to the Word of God. Verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. We are given fullness in Christ. You are a treasured possession for who you are. And as you continue to grow, you will become more full, but you have the fullness of Christ at this very moment, this very point in your life. Through belief in Jesus Christ as the sacrifice and resurrected Lord, you are blessed. Christians are blessed with salvation. These verses that Paul writes, they capture the full deity of Jesus. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus. Jesus, to know His word, to know His teachings, His miracles, His parables, that's how we know who God is, and that's how we pattern our life after. And then Paul writes in verses 11 and 12, in Him you were also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. Most of the Colossian Christians were Gentile, and thus they had not been circumcised. Circumcision was a Jewish tradition handed down to them by God, their Father, Heavenly Father, and that was a sign of the covenant God established with His people, Israel. But the Gentiles had not been physically circumcised. And the Jews like to point that out as an aspect of inferior, but Paul is telling them they have been spiritually circumcised to recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to walk away from their nature of sin in their life, and to cherish and value and live for the sacrificed and resurrected Lord. Paul assures the Gentile Christians they were circumcised in a spiritual sense, which is even more important than a physical circumcision. Then Paul goes on using phrases in the following verses like, God made you alive with Christ. Christ forgave us all our sins. He canceled the written code. Christ took it away nailing it to the cross. Created by God in His image, we are made alive in Christ. And we are able to walk in fellowship with Jesus. Even though we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, from Romans 3:23, we rely on God's grace and God's forgiveness. Every human has been created in the image of God. And every human from the moment of life, as thus created in the image of God, is a person to befriend and to nurture and to love. And again, I don't know how much the children and the Faith Village teachers knew we were going to focus on the end of the aspect of we are to love, because God loves us all. When we converse with people who do not believe in the we are created in the image of God, what do? I suggest you ask for some time. And you have your Bible with you, and you read these verses from Genesis chapter 1. And you talk about what it means to be created in the image of God. And let the Word of God speak to you through the words of Colossians 2 and other passages. We'll talk more about that next week, but don't just have them read, but read with them together and talk about that in a sense of being nurturing and being grace-filled with wisdom and love. Leave it to God's Word and the Holy Spirit to change that person's heart, but you just be the disciple and the representative and the agent of love. In Christ, amen.
I invite you to rise as we sing our responsive hymn, hymn number 201, Grace Greater Than Our Sin.
Grace that will pardon and cleanse.
Having heard the sermon about the image of God and being made in that image, we confess together the statement of faith found printed in your bulletin. God made humanity in his own image, set apart as his image bearers. Every human being is sacred. All men and all women bearing the image of God are meant to represent God in his creation. God declares the created order to be very good, distinguishing men and women as his agents for care of, manage, and govern over it. Though we failed in our roles, Jesus Christ became like us to redeem us from sin and to restore in us God's image. Amen.
Created in God's image, and God is generous and loving to us. And so we have this opportunity to be generous and loving to God and to God's people. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning offerings. Gracious Lord God, we do thank you for your love and your generous spirit and nature with us. And Lord, in our time of worship, through the teachings of your holy word, we return our tithes and our offerings to you to be a blessing to you, others, to bring glory to your mighty name. Amen.
I invite you to join in our closing hymn, I Love to Tell the Story.
I love.
As you go forth this morning, may you know and remember the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Praise be to Him. Amen.
Sanctuary.